Have you heard about the new MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle? The MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle is the easiest, most advanced nozzle ever, protecting you from the dangers of diesel exhaust fumes. With its patented flex magnet technology, the Pro Nozzle easily attaches with one hand from a standing position, can snap on from any angle, and fits flush to the apparatus, saving a ton of space. A MagnaGrip is the only exhaust removal system that offers a true 100% seal. For free grant assistance and to learn more, go to MagnaGrip.com.
This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tenkata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tenkata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tenkata fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tenkata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tenkata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit TenkataFabrics.com.
You're listening to Fire Engineering Radio, the Future Firefighter Podcast with host Chris Baker.
Attention, Company 3, Company 2, Engine 9, Engine 12, Operator 1, Battalion 1, Battalion 2, District 604, C. Charles. Structure Fire, Washington and Union.
Join him and his guests as they discuss how to engage with future members of the fire service through mentorship as they seek a career in the fire service.
You can show the fire under control.
Hello and welcome to the Future Firefighter Fire Engineering Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm honored, humbled to be sitting with Dr. Harry Carter live from FDIC 2018. I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. 3M Scott Fire and Safety is a proud sponsor of the Fire Engineering Radio Show. And we are live from FDIC 2018. Today is Friday. The show is wrapping up. We have one more day tomorrow, Saturday. Currently, as the show is being recorded, is the NFFF stair climb that's happening over at the Lucas Oil Stadium. And then also tomorrow, they also have the competition, the Scott Firefighter Combat Challenge. So again, I'm honored to have Dr. Harry Carter with us today. Dr. Harry Carter has been coming to FDIC since...
I started in 1977 in Memphis, and I've been teaching since 79, so...
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's just great. And have the opportunity to bring Dr. Carter on the show with his experience, his knowledge. And today, our topic today is going to be education in the fire service and why it's important for the future firefighters. So for those future firefighters that are out listening in the audience, please take notes. The information that Dr. Harry Carter is going to be able to give you and help you with as far as your career to be able to get a position in the fire service. To help you as you go through college, you go through school, certifications, accreditation. We're going to discuss all of those issues. So without further ado, Dr. Harry Carter, could you just please, for the audience, for our listeners, if you could just share just a little bit about your background.
I'd be glad to. I started out riding an ambulance when I was a junior in high school back in 1964. 1966, during the Vietnam War, I enlisted in the Air Force and became an Air Force Fire Protection Specialist, crash rescue and structural. And it was my great pleasure to serve in Alaska, the Philippines, and Vietnam during my time in the Air Force. When I got out, I returned to where I lived in Freehold, New Jersey, and went back to riding the ambulance. But not long after, as my then girlfriend, soon to be fiance, and now wife of nearly 46 years, well, when I moved into the village where she grew up, I joined the Adelphia Fire Company. So I've been career guy off and on for a long time, and I've been a volunteer since 1971.
Wow.
You know, it's after a while, I was lucky to catch the first round of examinations. I went on the railway department in 1972. I civil service tested to go up to Newark because I got tired of mowing lawns and cleaning windows. And when I went to Newark, I was able to go to fires. And really, we had no windows to clean because they'd all been knocked out and replaced with cardboard. But while I was in Newark, I moved into the educational world. At that point, I had an associate from Brookdale College in business. But I went into the fire science program at Jersey City State College, now the New Jersey City University. And I finished up my bachelor's in 1976. And it's my privilege to say that one of my dear friends and fellow competitors at Jersey City State, you might know, Dr. Dennis O'Neill.
Yes, sir, I do know.
Denny and I had two of the first four bachelors in fire safety administration ever awarded in New Jersey.
Wow.
He went on for his master's at Fairleigh Dickinson in public administration, took my master's at Rutgers, political science. He took his doctorate at NYU in education, and I took my doctorate at Capella University in leadership. And I got to tell you, I've achieved a great deal in life through education.
Wow. Well, thank you, Dr. Carter, for sharing that. And thank you for your service to the fire service through FDIC, and then also giving back at the academies and the colleges. And writing several books. Can you please just share a little bit about how the future firefighter could get started in education? One that maybe just is enrolling in classes, maybe thinking about their ACE degree in fire science, fire technology. Can you just speak on that?
Sure. The first thing you have to get into your mind is you want to learn more than they're teaching you at the fire department.
Right.
And to do that, you step right out, you start by going to your local library. You can read many things in the library. You can go to your department academy, your county academy, your state academy, or the National Fire Academy, all offering great educational courses. But you, prior to starting, have to determine what you want to know. If you start out on a journey without a destination, you'll never get to the destination.
Right. You know, when we were talking about it during FDIC, during the big box, the evening, afternoon sessions, Chief Halton, Chief Goldfeder, and Chief Norman, they were discussing you know, topics as far as education, and there's some great resources that are out there. So for the listeners in the audience, U.S. Fire Administration, the National Fire Academy, there's something that we'll discuss in the show called the FESCI model. There's things that are out there to help you, to assist you. And if you're listening in New Jersey, if you're listening in here at the conference in Indiana, or if you're out in California, the same FESCI model is applicable across the country. So, sir, if you don't mind, can you just share a little bit about the FESCI model and the U.S. Fire Administration?
Well, at some point, the folks at Emmitsburg decided that there should be one national model for training firefighters. Now, Dennis O'Neill and I go way, way, way back into the 70s and 80s talking about the need to create a profession, the fire service as a profession. Not an occupation, which is skills and talents and tasks, but a profession based around a core knowledge. Well, thanks to his efforts as superintendent at the National Fire Academy, committees were formed, and the result of a number of years of labor were the FESCI model. And you follow the FESCI model through your associate degree. And it's a really good way to operate. It covers all of the identified topics which have been found over the years to be necessary. A lot of people don't understand. Knowledge is about a number of things, but the two primary are content. What are you learning? And critical thinking. Are you learning how to think? Many people don't understand thinking is a process. Critical thinking is taking facts, weighing facts, evaluating facts and making your conclusion as to how you wish to proceed. Well, that working my way from my associate to my two bachelors, my master's, my two doctorates, thinking had to play a part of it. That, the first question of, in thinking your way through this is, why? Why do I want an education? If you can't come up with a good, reasonable answer to the question why, it's probably a journey you don't need to take or shouldn't take. The other night at supper over at Prime, I was helping a guy from Massachusetts through the process. And he says, I came late to the educational table, raising kids and all that. I got my bachelor's and master's. I'm teaching college. But I'm thinking about a doctorate. Should I go for a doctorate? And I asked him a simple question. Why? Why do you think you need a doctorate? Well, then he gave me logical conclusions. He wants to do teaching in a particular area. He wanted to get a doctorate in education, an EDD. And when he told me he wanted to do religious studies, because he teaches at a Catholic university, I said, well, a PhD would be better because you could be more resource-oriented rather than function-oriented in a doctorate in education. Dennis's EDD, when he earned that, he created an entire program to implement fire prevention in New Jersey. And today we still use the same model he created 30 years ago.
Wow.
So education is critical. I mean, in what we do, when I explain to people my model for learning in the fire service, you're taught at the academy what to do. You go to the firehouse and you practice and you drill on what to do. You go to real emergencies, you do something, it works, it doesn't work, you come back, you use your feedback, and you go back to training again. It's a circle, it's a cycle, but injecting education makes the circle larger.
Right.
You're bringing more facts in. And pulling up in front of a burning building in Newark, which I did with great frequency back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, I liked having facts. For the younger people, you probably wouldn't know what I'm talking about when I speak of the Brady overlays. These were the kind of things created by George Post, who the ISFSI honors with the George Post Instructor of the Year Award, that he created for the Brady Corporation. And an overlay went on an overlay projector. And it was highly immobile. It was just things on a sheet of acetate. But there were multiple sheets. The basic street, the building, your trucks arrive, what do you see, what do you do? Well, in my mind, reading, learning, gathering knowledge creates overlays in your brain so that when you turn into the block where that emergency is, whether it's a fire or an accident or whatever, your mind can flip through the overlays, placing them in front of your mind's eye what to do. And I know that's the way it worked for me in Newark. Because when you turn the block and you have one city block on fire, what to do?
Right.
Well, I go back to my education, studied the Chelsea conflagration, studied the number of conflagrations. In a major fire, the key is to cut it off. How did I know that? I learned it as part of my education. You confine it, you herd it in, and eventually all fires go out.
Right.
But if you don't do it correctly, the fire gets much larger before it goes out.
Right. And that's awesome. In our previous shows, we discussed the blend in the fire service, the recruit firefighter, entry-level firefighter. It takes a blend. The blend is education is definitely a major component. Time and grade. We talk about seat time. We talk about certifications. The National Fire Academy has excellent programs as far as national-level training through certifications. We're at the Fire Department Instructors Conference. 217 classes this year, amongst hot classes, hands-on training Monday and Tuesday in the pre-conference section. And then I've had the pleasure of sitting in many classes. James Johnson, he has another show that he does through Fire Engineering, Blog Talk Radio. Excellent class on building construction. Well, building construction just happens to be one of those specialty classes, a semester-long class just on building construction. I think that's important for our recruit firefighters. Sacramento Fire Department, for example, out in California, in their firefighter academy, their entry-level firefighter academy, they have you build a house in their academy. It's a mini, smaller house to scale. However, you know what rafters are, you know what the spacing in between studs, you know the purlins and the beams, you know what the load is of the walls and the roof. And that's the importance of bringing it all together. So to talk about the blend, the certifications, the education, the time and grade, the seat time, once you get to that point in your studies, it might be year one or it might be year two, when it starts coming together and you can kind of see that slide tray develop. And we talk about the slide tray, and as you get that seat time, you get that experience, then you can start getting that prime decision recognition. You can start seeing calls that you've been on before. So Dr. Carter, if you could just share for those young listeners that are out there in the audience that might not be familiar with what a slide tray is, if you could just share with them what that is and why that's important.
Back in the day, I'll take you beyond that. Go back beyond that. There was a time when it was very difficult to create AV assistants. And one of the first things I learned as I started at the FDIC was how to create audiovisual things to use. And one of the greatest inventions in the world was the machine that I used at the National Guard when I was state fire marshal in Jersey for the Guard, where you could create slides by sticking letters on a sheet and shooting an overhead picture of it. And then over time, I must have had, before I started unloading them, 60 or 70 trays of slides, and each of the slides was a different aspect of the course you wanted to teach, similar to the overlays, where each was a different part of the topic you wished to teach.
Right.
And after a while, I noted that people who showed up with slide trays were considered to be, forgive me for this, old farts who were not technologically competent. And that's when I began creating PowerPoint. Now, one of the things I had he's not my son-in-law. He was a boyfriend from my older daughter years ago. He took a lot of my slides and took photos and injected them into my programs. But a lot of my knowledge goes back to days when you just put slides up on the screen. Going back to your talk about the new guy coming up, if you think about it, each baby that's born comes in with a completely blank slate. And over the years, different people write on that slate. Your parents, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles. You go into school, your teachers write on it. And then, of course, you got your friends in class scribble all over whatever everybody else is writing. Well, so it is in the fire service. Nobody arrives at the front door of their first day of work at the academy with any consequences. Any knowledge. The average citizen does not know what they're about to enter. Well, I had the 4 years in the Air Force. I had Adelphi. I had Broadway when I went to Newark. There were no great surprises. Yet, I went through the academy. And the knowledge just kept growing. Back then, we had the privilege or the problem of a lot of working fires. The city of Newark is an old city on the river in Jersey, and the deteriorated housing stock led to multiple fires. I had a fire most every day when I went to work at 11 engine, and I made captain and went over to 15 engine. You pretty much knew if you didn't get a fire during the day, you were going to get one at night. And you learned what worked, what didn't work. So you had your formal education in college, and you had your informal education in the living of your daily life as a firefighter. Now, one of the problems we face today is that our efforts at prevention have been successful.
Yes.
Really, there are, in total, less fires than there were. But that's a good thing for the people that own buildings and live in buildings. But for people who need to learn their position, that makes it terribly important to train harder at the fire station.
Right.
A lot of people don't do that. Yeah. I told you about my own volunteer department in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
When I was chief back in 91, I pushed training. And now we send six people to FDIC every year. And we hold anywhere from 35 to 40 drills a year. And we are a regional resource. I was talking about this in my class yesterday on problem solving. After class, one of the students came up and he showed me a picture on his phone, and it was two of our Philadelphia firefighters. And he says, "Do you know this guy?" I said, "Yeah, that's our Lieutenant Steve." And he says, "Boy, those guys from Philadelphia are good." And I said, "Well, what did I say during class? Our emphasis on training. I am 70 years old, but to remain active, I must attend 6 drills a year minimum."
Right.
So I go in and I watch. Now, of course, I'm not going to climb a ladder. I will watch you climb a ladder. I drive the fire truck, but I let the younger guys drive. I've served my time, but I want to be there with my arm around the shoulder of the new guy coming through the door, who has no concept of the world he or she is about to enter. I say he or she. My daughter's been in the fire company since she started as a junior when she's 14.
Right.
Now she's secretary of the fire company, and she's only 3 years away from life membership. How old does that make me feel? But again, no matter who you are in the Adelphia Fire Company, if you want to stay active, you must participate actively in training.
Right, and that's a great point. So you brought up another great component of the FESCI program, and that's fire prevention. So this week, we've had several classes geared towards fire prevention, and we know that we have a fire problem. From America Birding and fast forward to today, the importance of sprinklers and community risk reduction, public education, public information officers, it's very important. So within the FESCI model, we actually have two classes. We have fire protection equipment and systems, which is very important if you're doing engine company inspections. So if you're that new guy or gal that just got out of the recruit academy, you're out of the fire academy, you can take a semester-long class and learn what a fire department connection is, what an outside screw and yoke is, what a post indicator valve is, what is a wet system, what is a dry system, what is a wet hydrant, a dry hydrant. You can learn all those different things in that class. Another class that you can take is fire prevention. And it's very important to learn about some of these catastrophic fatal fires. Recently, we just had the 15-year anniversary of Rhode Island, of the Station Nightclub fire. And
that was a significant fire.
Yeah.
For one fact, it was the first major fire of that type where the video of the building burning and the people running around inside was ever available to be released. But what, when I saw the video on station, I immediately thought of the Natchez Dance Club fire in 1940 down in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Only back then there were no videos.
Right.
There were just a lot of deceased citizens laying in the gutter.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing at all.
No. And also Coconut Grove. You know, we could talk about Coconut Grove. We could talk about the Peshtigo fire, the Great Chicago fire.
Peshtigo is one of the most overlooked fires in the history of the United States, because it was caught in the shadow of the Chicago fire. But that was a city built of wood, wooden buildings, wooden sidewalks. They even had sawdust in the streets to keep the dust down.
Yeah.
Well, when it took off, it was a very windy day, and it just destroyed the city and killed hundreds of people.
Yeah, it's often mentioned as the Lost Fire, because it's forgotten.
Forgotten.
And we can also talk about the Iroquois Theater Fire. You know, and that's another prime example. So
one of the great, great stories of the Iroquois fire was Eddie Foy, the vaudeville comedian. When the crowd was beginning to panic, he got up on the stage and began singing to calm the crowd. In spite of his efforts, 602 people still died. But that was at the time, it was billed as a fireproof theater.
Right, yeah.
Nothing is fireproof. You can burn concrete if you try hard enough.
Right, and when you go through all these classes in your fire science, fire technology program, and the FESCI model, you can learn about some of these catastrophic fires. And as an instructor, as a teacher educating college students, I want them to see the importance of the why. We discussed the why.
Why is the biggest question.
And so we looked at the block exits. We look at egress. We look at basements. We look at candles. We look at some of the causations, the reasons, the point of origin, why some of these fatal fires happen. And a lot of it brings us to the importance of sprinklers, fire sprinklers. We just had another tragic fire in California, in Oakland, the Ghost Ship fire.
That was a terrible fire.
And one of my instructors 10 years ago, one of my first instructors, Lieutenant George Freeland from Oakland, he was one of the first ones that was on that incident. And so that brings us to another point. We can talk also about firefighter safety and survival. So that's another component of the FESCI model. In firefighter safety and survival, we go through the 16 life safety initiatives from the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
I was blessed to be at the Tampa meeting in 2004 when we created those.
Yep. Yeah.
It was, my personal emphasis in the middle of all those is the highway safety issue
right.
for Cumberland
yes.
Valley. But
yeah,
a funny story. Can I tell a funny story about we are in the midst of talking about safety, health, and fitness. And after the first break, we go out. And what did they have for refreshments? Twinkies, ding, ho-hos, all of this.
Yeah.
No fruit, no vegetables.
Yeah.
Now, I just simply laughed and went, cup of coffee and went back in. But the protests led right. to, from then on out, you had a range for the healthy people and the fat people.
Right.
But we covered it all. And
that's
the use of problem-solving feedback.
Right.
We have a problem. We're talking health and safety, and you're feeding me crap.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so thank you for sharing that story.
Well, it's a critical story.
That brings up an excellent point. We've had a lot of classes this week in firefighter functional fitness. Good friends of mine, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Lieutenant Jim Moss, they taught two classes. They actually taught a hot class, and they also taught a lecture class, a 90-minute class on the culture of fitness right now in the fire service. We have to look at nutrition. We have to look at diet. We have to look at exercise.
You're taking me into that area of my life where I've never done well. I do not stand as a tribute to exercise and nutrition in the American Fire Service. However, I offer myself as what happens when you don't.
Right.
You reach a certain age and your body begins telling you, you know, you really should have done a little bit more when you were a lot younger. So I offer that to our audience. If you're in your 20s, stay active. Because right now, you saw me, I'm having trouble walking because of my arthritis. Would you believe that up until 2003, I was a sousaphone player in a marching band?
Right.
We would do 2, 3, 4, 5 mile parades. And I was marching right along. When I was a younger man, I'd drop my car off at my repair shop in Freehold and walk 4 miles home and think nothing of it.
Right.
Now, when I leave this video with you and walk back to the Hyatt, I'll be walking in pretty much 100-yard stretches.
Right.
Hopefully, over the next few months, I will do what I've promised the people here I will do. I will walk further and a little bit further and a little bit further so that next year I won't have these problems. But it's an educational process, and I didn't pay attention. And I offer that to the younger people.
Right.
Pay attention.
And that's a good and excellent point. When you get through the academy, some academies are 16 weeks, some academies are 20 weeks. Heck, if you're in Japan, your academy is going to be 2 years.
That's correct.
You know, and so it depends on your academy. But the key is when you pass probation, you get your seat, you earn your seat, get your name on your turnout, you get a badge, you get sworn in, and you're taking an oath. And that oath is to be a humble public servant and to take care of yourself. In order to take care of the public, you have to first take care of yourself. Mrs. Smith, right?
Mrs. Smith.
We have to take care of Mrs. Smith, and we're not able to take care of Mrs. Smith if we can't take care of ourselves.
Well, so that was one of the great privileges in my life. Alan Brunacini had me as one of the reviewers on a number of his books. And when you are in the presence of a brilliant thinker, you're often stunned silent with your admiration for him. And one of the great sorrows in my life is he's gone. And an adjacent sorrow, I lost a book he signed. Thank you, Harry. just not paying attention. You run through life and you don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Is that book in my office? You wouldn't believe my office would thousands of I've books seen, on all of the walls.
I've seen pictures, yeah.
You've seen pictures. Yeah. But some things I can find in a thrice. Other things, I will spend an afternoon and my search will come up fruitless.
Right, yeah.
But the key is, I don't have to go out and borrow anything. If I want to study something, I go in and look at the books on my shelf.
You got the resource. And that's another perfect segue. Oh. Keep your books, you know, and I've kept all my books in the past 12 years. And one of my first books was from Chief Brunicini and Chief Bruno. And excellent books out there. Customer Service is an excellent Essentials of Customer Service. Fire Command.
His Fire Command book. It was one that I studied for my deputy's exam. And one of his really important chapters was the 18 attributes of an effective fire ground commander. Mm-hmm. And I memorized them alphabetically, not chronologically, right? A, B, B, D, D, C, D. So when I went in to take my exam, I was talking faster than the examiner could write because I knew. But in the back of that book were his statements on life. And one of the things that has never left me, don't hang around with a chief whose nickname is Burn 'em Down Burns, because you're going to go to fires. I mean, literally, this is the man.
Right.
Yeah. I met him on a bus in 1976 in Cincinnati. He laid out everything in 2 hours at lunch in 1976 that he ended up doing over the rest of his life.
Right.
He knew what he wanted to do. And the next year he made chief. And he did it. What better testament for a person in this world? They know what they want to do, and they take the steps necessary to achieve what they wish to do.
Yep. And this show and this conference this year is in memory of Chief Brunicini, and we definitely miss him. However, for those that are listening out in the audience, and Dr. Carter, Chief Rubin, I think Chief Varner showed up yesterday.
I met Bruce out in the hall.
Yeah. So there's several that are keeping Chief Bruno's vision, his passion.
Well, Bruce Varner worked as his assistant.
Yep. Yeah, and I read a great story about how he used to call Mrs. Bruno mom, and how he used to eat dinner at the house. And B-Shifter, there was a great article in B-Shifter that came out, and it was all the different stories regarding Chief Bruno. So for those listeners that are listening to the audience, yeah, he's a family. And so he also embraced education.
Oh.
He embraced building construction. He embraced command.
He was out. Embrace, I accept more than that. He was out front.
Oh, yeah.
He was a leader, a pioneer. He set the path.
A forward thinker.
Exactly.
Very progressive. And I believe he set the example for all of us. So I'm very honored to bring Dr. Harry Carter on the show. And if you're in the audience and if you're listening, please get Essentials of Customer Service and Fire Command. And if you can, take classes from Chief Varner and take classes from Chief Rubin. And it's up to all of us to keep Chief Brunicini's mission, vision, his values. We have to take care of Mrs. Smith.
You must share.
Yes.
If you know and you don't tell, you're not a good person.
Right.
If you're the sponge that soaks up knowledge, occasionally you have to squeeze the sponge
right.
And let it out for people to get.
Right.
And I've been with people over the years. They went to every seminar, every session, every class. Well, when they got back to the firehouse, they never told anybody anything.
Right. Well, that's a perfect segue. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about FDIC. We're here, and we have all these training opportunities. Why should the new recruit, why should the entry-level firefighter just got off probation, why should they come here?
You need to join the family. There are courses. Bobby and Diane provide courses at all levels. I mean, there are extremely basic courses. A lot of the hot courses are the perfect follow-up to your academy training. As I said earlier, Adelphia sends 6 people every year, and they've done so for the last 20 years. And they come back, and they're better firefighters. And, of course, one of the things we as the Board of Fire Commissioners who pay the freight say, each of you has to teach a drill during the year based upon what you learn at FDIC. And one of the things one of our ex-chiefs learned was how to build a roof prop. Well, we had in the old days, we had 3 gigantic gas cylinders out back because we didn't have industry gas. When we got industry gas, we got rid of the cylinders. We had this giant area. That giant area now has walls, Tyvek, siding, and a roof with a giant hole in it with slots to hold the plywood so we can do continuing roof cuts.
Awesome.
Ladder raises and roof cuts, and we don't have to go anywhere but our own firehouse.
Right.
And we learned it at FDIC.
That's awesome. And so I want to definitely thank Chief Bobby Halton and the whole fire engineering family, Pinwell family, for this conference. And I know it takes many hands. I know there's a lot that we don't see. There's a lot of things that happen logistically behind the scenes to make this happen. And this is my 5th national conference, and I'll share a little story about myself. I've been in the fire service for 12 years, and I never came to a national conference. In 10 years, I stayed in my own area, my own department, my own state, and I went to my first national conference, and I really feel like that I missed out in those 10 years. And so I'm kicking myself now. And so now I have the bug, and you have to be here. This experience.
Better late to the table than never.
This is experience is something that you have to come. I've had some excellent classes.
More than classes. It's a battery recharge.
Right.
You have that swamp that you live in every day. I go, I do, I come home. I go, I do, I come home.
Right.
You come to FDIC to learn. You're going to be surrounded by people who are charged up. I can remember many years I'd come down to Memphis or Cincinnati, and it would really, truly be a battery recharge.
Right, yeah.
And I'd return to the city of Newark all wound up and ready to attack the world. And I ended up back at work where I always was, and it was very frustrating.
Right.
But I was always, in my mind, a better person for what I had learned at FDIC.
Right.
And then you get to the point where it becomes more important to share. I mean, over the years in my life, I've set goals for myself at age 40, 50, 60. Now that I'm 70, here I am almost 71, and I haven't set out my goals for my 70s. When I was 40, I said I want to be a nationally known expert by 50. Got that. When I was 50, I wrote a whole list of things. Leave Newark, because I was about to retire, do this, active in the Masons, active in my church, more band music, all of it. I have that faded sheet that I wrote on the front porch, military white green line paper. I checked every one I achieved all. Turned 60, I went into my decade of sharing. And my pastor helped me with this because one of the things I wanted to do was learn more about my faith. How do you do that?
Right.
You get a mentor. Right. My pastor was my mentor. At some point, he considered me to have learned my lessons, and I went on the church board.
Right.
And I'd like to say I was the token sinner on the church board because I was. These people were really religious, and I'm like, okay, I believe in all this stuff, but I make a lot of mistakes in life. I'm a sinner. I want you to know I'm a sinner. But anyway, here I am at the decade of my 70s, and I'm starting to see it's forming up.
Right.
As I sit here talking with you, Chris, I've got to talk about sharing. It's sharing at the next level. Because each of us, as we sit here today, is a lending library. I have a lot of books up here. You have books up there.
Right.
Well, when you die, like when Bruno died, the doors to the library slam shut.
Right.
And you can only share when you can talk, look, and listen.
Right.
That's critical.
And that's an important point. And coming to these conferences, FDIC, you're one of my mentors, and I'm humbled and honored that I get to sit next to you and on this show, share a conversation.
Well, write that down so I can take it home to my wife.
And that's the other important thing about coming to FDIC is all the mentors. You discuss the family, being able to have accessibility. and all the classes that I've attended, the instructor has been more than willing to stay after the class and share their contact information, their phone number, their email. They're accessible, and they want to genuinely help you.
Well, that's something that Bobby and Diane and Virginia Mingoli pay attention to. There are people who are one and done as instructors at FDIC because the first mistake they made, they touted themselves as though they were a product. I'm selling Harry, and I want to go out, and I want to teach you, and I want you to pay me money to teach you. Wrong. The second one was they were not approachable. They didn't help the students. They did their gig, and when people tried to come up, they thought, I got to go somewhere. I got to put my kid in and leave. That's not how it works. The people that I look to as my mentors over the years, not only did we stay after class, we repaired to A, the coffee shop, or B, the gin mill.
Right.
And we traded ideas. One of the guys that I dearly loved, long gone, late Bill Clark, retired out of New York City as a battalion chief,
right.
Director of training in Wisconsin, director of training in Florida. He worked for Union Carbide. He retired to St. Petersburg, Florida.
Right.
Now, he was still a $1,000 a day consultant up to when he died. But his wife, Ellen, told a number of us that he said to her one day, a couple weeks before he passed, that, you know, I got to catch up to all these young whippersnappers. Oh, I think I'm going to get a computer. I think it's time. Well, he was gone in a couple of weeks. But he was always a forward thinker.
Right. Yeah.
I studied his book when I was promoted to captain. When he wrote the second edition, I was one of his helpers.
Wow.
When people bring you along, the thrill of the journey.
Right.
I mean, we could probably put a two-day class together on the thrill of the journey.
Yeah, and that's a great point. This is a journey.
It is.
And so as we wrap up this show, this is a journey. If we really think about it, through your the Beshe model, the six classes, we've discussed a little bit of them this show. Next show, we're going to invite Chief Dan Kerrigan and Lieutenant Jim Moss. So we're going to continue the fitness, the health, the safety, cancer. We have a problem with cancer in the fire service. We have line of duty deaths. We have suicides. We have this mental health. We discussed mental health and
one of my jobs in the city of Newark for the last 15 years, I was the voice of command at all line of duty deaths. Mm-hmm. And boy, it strikes you. And the thought in my mind is every time someone died, we'd march out to the cemetery with the bagpipes and the flags. And every time we came back with one less person.
Yeah.
That's what fixed safety and all that in my mind. One of my great achievements in Newark, no one died on my watch when I was a fireman, captain, or chief. Did people get hurt? Oh, we all got hurt because firefighting back in my early days, I wasn't anything more than a resource. Let's throw three firemen at that fire and see if it goes out. We don't do that anymore. Why? Because we learned that that was wrong.
And it's important. You know, I'd be remiss not to mention that we hear bagpipes in the background.
Yeah.
And we have several thousands that are here climbing to remember our brothers that died in the FDNY, September 11th, and the stair climb. There's a lot of events that you can do locally. We have local stair climbs that you can do. You can come out here to FDIC, do the stair climb. We had the Courage and Valor 5K last night. Chief Halton runs in that, and several of my friends, they participate in that. And I think the person that won, I think, ran 3 miles in 17 minutes. And
I like watching things like that on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't sweat as much when I watch it on Facebook.
But there's a lot of events that are out here. Last night I was at the Stop, Drop, Rock and Roll with the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. I'm a regional coordinator for the Everyone Goes Home program for Region 9, California, Hawaii, Nevada, and Arizona. There's great programs and great events, and there's an experience. This is a whole experience. So please, we talked about goals. We talked about goal setting and your plan. For those of you that are listening and that are out in the audience, make the goal, make the plan to come here to FDIC next year. And if you need help, If you need suggestions, if you need coaching or mentoring, I know Dr. Carter has mentored me over the years. Please reach out. Please ask us. And there's programs that are available. Honeywell, they brought 20 new instructors.
Yes, they did.
20 new instructors.
I was impressed by that.
So several of my friends got to teach their first classes. And this was their second year. Last year was their first year come here. And Honeywell brought them back. And they're instructors this year. Great programs. Great programs. So, again, we want to thank our sponsors, 3M Scott Fire and Safety. They're a proud sponsor of the Fire Engineering Trusted Voices radio show.
God bless Scott Airfax. I've been wearing it for over 30 years.
Yes, I love Scott's. I've used Scott's in the past, and I love how easy they are to use, and the operability and the usability. I would like to thank Chief Bobby Halton for mentoring me and giving me the opportunity to have this show. And I would love to thank all of the many hands, all of the people behind the scenes that don't get the credit.
That's correct.
That make this event happen. Because let's be honest, Chief Halton, he's everywhere, but unfortunately he can't do this by himself.
No.
It takes a team. So the Pinwell, the Fire Engineering family, thank you for this opportunity. And this has been one of my best FDIC experiences. And even though we're at Friday, and tomorrow is the last day, I'm all ready for next year. I want to come back next year. So my challenge to everyone that's listening in the audience is you have to go to these conferences. You have to get your batteries recharged. You have to go back to your department, your city, your agency, your jurisdiction, your state, and you have to pass on the information. You have to share the knowledge.
Regardless of whether it hurts, when people laugh at you, revile you, keep sharing.
Yes.
I often wondered why I was in trouble so much.
Yeah.
Then it came to me one day in a flash. There's a fraction of life. It is called mistakes. The less you do, the smaller that number is.
Right.
Well, I was always doing something everywhere, so I was always in the boss's office getting yelled at. But once I understood why, it was fun to get yelled at.
Yeah.
It really was.
Well, I'd like to congratulate Paul Combs on George Post Instructor of the Year Award through the ISFSI. Congratulations, Paul. And also Deputy Chief Billy Goldfeder on his Lifetime Achievement Award. And as we talk about passing it on, right? If you're listening in the show, that's an excellent book through Fire Engineering Books. Pass it on.
I wrote one of the chapters in the first one.
Yeah, you autographed that for me.
Yeah.
So
that was fun. Billy creates fun things and you learn.
Yes, yeah. And so approachability, Chief Goldfeder brought all six of his grandkids with him.
His wife actually saved my life when we were speaking in Nova Scotia back in 2008. Billy G and I decided we were going to relive our youth and march with the Bridgewater, Nova Scotia Fire Department Marching Band, the oldest marching band in Canada.
Wow.
He was playing the drums, and I had a tuba up in the front row. Well, anybody knows Nova Scotia along the coastline, you start by the harbor to go to the hill that takes you to the hill, that takes you up the hill. Well, when the band comes to a certain point, there I am, head in a garbage can, growing up. Terry comes around the corner, sees me, which is paramedic. She says, "You're not good." Calls an ambulance. Boom. They call my wife. My wife was standing there when my sister and the band comes around the corner. And there's this giant spot in the front where I should have been.
Wow.
So now my wife, she saved my life and convinced me I should have exercised. Well, until I had a round of bronchitis this year, I was doing a half mile in the pool at the fitness center.
Wow.
So I really was in shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
But once you lose fitness, it's tough to get back.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so it's a family.
And, oh, it's really a family.
Even the spouses, the children, and the grandchildren. Bring your family. Bring your spouses. Bring your children. There's this event, there's things to do for everybody.
My daughter's been here as a firefighter.
So thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Carter,
for your time. You're quite welcome. It's my pleasure.
And thank you, Fire Engineering, for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.